Welcome to the Mary Valone Show. I'm your host, Mary Valone, and this is episode 7 of the podcast. So how time flies. It's crazy. It's already episode 7. And what's fun about this episode is that I wanted to hit on my favorite number, which is 7. So if you've read my book, you've noticed that there were 7 steps to build and sustain your next campaign through fundraising freedom. And I picked 7 for a particular reason. And that's because, 7 is just kind of really big in my life. So I'm the 7th kid in the family. I was born on 7/17. And so 7 just kind of always has been a big number for me. I always kind of see it around a lot. And so, but I wanted to talk today about why 7 is important for all nonprofit leaders. So 7 is the number that you want to have in your mind when you are working with any of your volunteers or donors to your organization, because you want to thank them 7 times. So in the book, you know, I talk a lot about thanking donors towards the end of the book, which is, making your difference and celebrating together, because I think it's important that we not only do and fulfill our mission, but also to go back and really acknowledge the people who made it happen. And you know that none of us could do our jobs without our volunteers and our donors. And so when you celebrate with those individuals, you want to be able to really thank them and acknowledge what they've done. So one of my favorite books is The 5 Love Languages by Dr. Gary Chapman. And I talk about it in my book because I kind of had an aha moment, just probably, maybe 10 years ago or so, when I realized that we love each other in such weird, we love each other the way that we want to be loved. And I know loving your volunteers and loving your donors is probably not the way you're thinking of it, but you really do want to love on them, which means you want to thank them. You want to show appreciation to them the same way that they in whatever language they speak. And Dr. Gary Chapman hits on so much of this in his book, but just in case you don't know what those 5 love languages are, it's words of affirmation, which means that you're saying and acknowledging what they're doing and just thanking them verbally. So, thank you for doing what you do. We couldn't do it without you. You're really gifted in that area. You start saying all these wonderful, kind words to your volunteers and your donors. Acts of service is the next one, and that's just showing them by actually doing things for them. So that's a big one. Receiving gifts. This is where I'm the least good at this area because I'm not much of a gift giver. So giving gifts is hard for me. So I have to really work on that. But that's like thank you cards and awards and flowers or birthday presents or any of those sorts of things, obviously fall under the gift category. Quality time, just spending time together. And then the last one is physical touch. And this is, shaking their hand, patting them on the back, giving them a hug, high fives, all those sorts of things as far as physical touch goes. So I'm actually recording today remotely. This is my first remote recording of the podcast. I have been hanging out with my grandmother, actually my husband's grandmother, and we call her G-Ma P, so Grandma Patterson. And just yesterday we were talking about these love languages and talking about what it is that we enjoy the most about spending time together. And so I don't always get to spend a ton of time with Grandma, but when I do, it just always, makes my day because she's just such a wealth of information. She's 86, turning 87 here shortly. And I think, I mentioned it on a short video that I did on Facebook, but she's been on a feeding tube for just over a year now. So she has to have somebody with her all the time and just making sure that she's fed 4 times a day. And but with that, there's a lot of loneliness that comes with it. So we were talking about how we both have the same love language, which is quality time. We just like spending time together. And not everybody gets that, and sometimes it's hard to spend quality time with people when that's not your love language. So when you're working, with your volunteers and donors, you have to, sometimes you just have to ask them, have you ever read the book? Do you know much about the love languages? Do you know what yours is? And that kind of, you know, opens up conversation, but usually you can figure out what somebody's love language is just based on how they show appreciation to people in their family, or they show it back to you. So it's quick to kind of understand, like, if they give you a lot of gifts, you're probably like, okay, gift giving is definitely their thing. If they're a hugger, if they're, you know, they like to affirm in you that you're doing a good job in the role that you're doing, that may be a sign that this is their love language. So it's so important that we thank our donors. If you were listening to the last podcast when I interviewed Colette Young, she shared that, you know, I asked her what was it that she enjoyed about, like, how did she want to be thanked? And she just said, I just want somebody to verbally say thank you. And so that tells me that her love language is probably words of affirmation. You know, that what you did, the fact that she was a part of their organization, they were able to do A, B, C, D. And so for her to be able to see directly because of the work that she put in, that there was impact being made, but also just that somebody acknowledged the fact that she gave significantly. And so when you thank a donor, don't push aside the fact that a thank you, a verbal thank you, is super, super important. But with all this, I just tell people, I'm like, you want to, in your entire portfolio of how you acknowledge your donors and thank them, out of those 7 times, you want to make sure that you have every single one of these in the mix. So if all you do is send people print materials with words of affirmation on it, you're only going to hit a small portion of your donors as far as acknowledging them in the way that they want to be acknowledged. So you have to go through and hit the words of affirmation, the acts of service, that you're doing something on their behalf, you're thanking them, you're going out of the way to acknowledge them, you're giving those gifts, you're spending quality time with them, and you're giving them that physical touch, with whether that's the pat on the back, a high five, a shake, or a hug. You know, so there's ways that you can do it. I'm a big hugger, and you know, when I lived in Southwest Missouri and I passed on my position to my good friend Debbie Stang, she made an acknowledgement of like how much I hugged people. And so I was like, yeah, I guess I do hug people a lot, don't I? And so when I moved to St. Louis, I noticed that a lot of people don't hug unless they're family or they've known each other for a long time. So I quickly changed the way that I was giving physical touch. So it was more handshakes. It was more, you know, like reaching over and touching their arm, you know, nothing crazy, no big hugs, you know, unless I knew them really well or they were family, you know. So, but once you get past that border of where it's like, okay, we know each other, we love each other, like we're doing things together that are making a difference, that does change. And then all of a sudden you do feel more comfortable giving hugs if that's their thing. But if you notice, there's probably some people in your life that do not want to be touched. It's just it's just awkward and odd and they don't like it. And so if you go after them and give them a hug, they're probably going to shrink down and not appreciate your acknowledgement of how you want to thank them. So just be aware of body language, be aware of verbal cues when people tell you that they, you know, how they show affection back to you. So it's just super, super important that you pay attention to this stuff. And when you're putting together your plan, I suggest that you actually put together a spreadsheet. So taking out, just opening up your computer, pulling up an Excel spreadsheet, and just jotting down the names of all of your donors, all the people that are part of your organization. And depending on how big your nonprofit is, you may already have a database of, that you can use to do this in. But I would make note as to how that person likes to be acknowledged and lean a little bit heavier on that love language. So if you notice that they enjoy certain things about, like, they really do like words of affirmation and they like being acknowledged on stage, then that's something that you're more, you know, you're ready to do. Some people really like, you know, the acts of service where they can do something for you. And so that means that if you ask them if they would step up in a way to help your organization, they really feel that sense of gratitude because they get to give back and they get to give back to your organization with their acts of service to you. So it is interesting how we all are so wired differently. And I try hard to pay attention to the way that people are wired because it makes your relationship with them so much stronger because you're paying attention to the details. And this goes back to your research. This goes back to being Sherlock Holmes, being able to draw broad conclusions from minute details. So when you see that somebody is doing something to someone else, you know, like it's easy just to kind of be like, okay, this is how they acknowledge their kids. This is how they, you know, interact with other volunteers and other donors and staff people within your organization. So pay attention to those cues. They're probably a little bit more obvious than you think that they are at this stage. But back to that spreadsheet. So when you pull open, you know, and put everything down on that spreadsheet, I want you to create 7 columns. So put the person's name, then put 7 columns in front of that person's name and acknowledge how you are thanking this particular donor. If you are sending out a newsletter, if you're sending out a print piece, those are all good, but like I said, they do not build relationship. That's really just giving content and giving communication back to your donors about how you're spending their donations. So it's good, and I don't want you to eliminate that, but notice that that is not, it may or may not be the thank you that that person wants or needs in order to know that they're appreciated. So put down those 7, you know, those 7 columns and just acknowledge what it is that you're already doing. And then if you only have 3 things on your list that you do, which means that, you know, you pick up the phone when you're in the neighborhood. If you're traveling and they live remotely, you know, you reach out to them and say, let's get together. How is it that you are spending time with them? Are you going out of your way to spend quality time with them? Are you going out of your way maybe during the holidays to give them a special gift? When they give a gift, do you respond with a thank you card? You know, or maybe some sort of commemorative item, something that's logoed and that they can wear, which brands your organization, but also is a thank you gift to them. So think through how you can, in 7 ways, thank that individual in 7 unique different ways, you know, so not the same thing over and over again. They don't get a monthly newsletter and then you check it off the list and say, well, I send 7 newsletters. Well, I mean, between you and me, that newsletter is probably getting thrown in the trash if it's going to somebody who's maybe a younger generation individual. We know that a lot of our older generation individuals, I mean, they really do enjoy newsletters and will probably read every single word that you put on the sheet of paper. But just know that not everyone is going to do that. So if you can, you know, hash out, you know, the people that are donating, the people who are serving in your organization, and you can best communicate with them how much you appreciate the work that they're doing and appreciate them being a part of your organization. So this 7 steps, you know, these 7 thank yous are something that should just be automatic, that for every person who's a part of your organization, you've got kind of a turnkey way of communicating with them to where you don't miss one of these steps, you know, you don't miss one of these love languages. Because if you start to automate this in a way where it's just, it comes natural to you, then you know that you're not going to lose people. And it's unfortunate that people will leave your organization because they don't feel that they're appreciated. And do you blame them? You know, do you blame them for walking out the door because they felt like you didn't care? And I notice it in myself. I notice it in others who are raising funds, is that they'll, you know, spend so much time working for that gift. You know, they'll invest so much energy into catering to that individual all the way up until the person says yes. And then we kind of do our victory dance and chalk it up as a win, and we don't thank them. I mean, we push off the thank you card. We don't pick up the phone immediately and call them and thank them for their gift. We see the gift that comes in, we celebrate amongst ourselves and our staff or the people that are closest to us, and then we just walk away and we don't show back up until we need money again or we need something from that volunteer again. And that is such an awful way of to fundraise. I mean, that's an awful way to run your organization. Imagine if that was how people communicated with you. I mean, imagine if your spouse or your children or your parents communicated with you in that way. They only wanted what they wanted. And as soon as they got what they wanted, they were done with you. I mean, that's kind of manipulative. It's kind of, you know, I mean, that's a messed up relationship, and that's the last thing you want to see for your organization. So take the time to put this list together and be really intentional about how you communicate with your donors and your volunteers so that they do feel a part of the family and they don't ever want to leave because they know they're appreciated. So those seven thank yous, you know that that's just a minimum. Make sure that you go above and beyond and you do more than those seven, because I think that that's what solidifies the relationship, is that you want to acknowledge them. You want to thank them for their donations and for their time that they invest in your organization. So you're going to go above and beyond that. The other thing is that the number seven is really big in just sharing new information. So it's also, I mean, this is why there's commercials, why people do commercials, because they want you to see the commercial over and over and over again. Because eventually, after you see it seven times or more, you're more likely to say, oh yeah, I heard about that. If you hear it once, it's kind of in one ear and out the other, and you just don't even pay any attention because there's just so much content that's being pumped into us every single day. You know, so if you can share, if you're going to change something within your organization, which means like you're going to roll out a new campaign, you've got a new fundraiser that you're doing, you also have to make sure that you're in the media, you're in social media, you verbally share that with people, you know, there's print pieces. So there's lots of ways that you are communicating that this thing is happening so that people, you know, it sinks in and they know, oh, okay, like they're actually, oh, they're putting on a fundraiser. I was aware of that, you know. But it's funny how sometimes we realize that we're like, how did they not know we were doing that fundraiser? How did people not know that this was happening this weekend? Well, because they didn't hear it seven times or more. And it just literally, their life was just so busy that you were not a priority. And so you have to continue to share that information over and over again. And like I said, a minimum of seven times. So be thinking about different ways that you can communicate that piece of information so that it does sink in and people are paying attention to what it is that you're doing. So, and that all comes in is when people love you and care about what you're doing, they're going to pay attention more often to what you have to say. So the love languages, that words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, and physical touch are all a part of whether or not they're going to pay attention to your communication. So it all folds in together. It all matters. It's all important. So just put the number seven in your mind, not only for the seven steps to build and sustain your next campaign through fundraising freedom, but also because of those seven thank yous and also the seven pieces of communication that you're sharing with your volunteers and your donors. So pull out that spreadsheet, get that done, and just have this constant Excel spreadsheet for your donors so that you know how to best communicate and how you can best share content and share your appreciation for what it is that they do. So I hope that today you'll take this information, you'll put it to use, and you'll make sure that those donors never want to walk away from what it is that you do, that they forever want to be a part of what it is that you're doing with your organization because they believe in your vision, they believe in your mission, and they know that they are cared about. So I hope you guys have a great day. Go change the world one volunteer and $1 at a time.
What could your favorite charity do if money were not an object? Most nonprofit leaders say they know what to do, they just don't know how to do it. What if you had a resource that showed you step by step how to raise the funds you need to fulfill your mission? Hi, I'm Mary Valone, author of Fundraising Freedom, and I've raised millions of dollars for charity, and I'd love to show you exactly how to do it and how to recruit the right team to back you. Fundraising Freedom, 7 Steps to Build and Sustain Your Next Campaign, available now at maryvalone.com Amazon.com, and online at all major bookstores. Get your copy and give the gift of fundraising freedom to your favorite charity today.